with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From my desk, from home, from Greenwich for the next several weeks, and very happy to be coming to you from home for the next several weeks. Yeah, good morning. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're looking, if you're listening to Sirius XM Online, and at our website as well, stevebick.com. And what a fun weekend. You probably, I didn't realize it until I heard my own voice through the cans. No matter how, you know, how much rest you got, you gallivant around like I did for these last 3 weeks. You deserve to be a little ragged. It's my own fault. I got no one else to blame. Right. I'm like Zach Mayo. I got nowhere else to go. I got no one else to blame. What a fun weekend. Tina and I go to Philly, and you've heard me and Johnny, and you'll hear Johnny later this morning. We just go to Philly and we just have just so much fun. And she and I have a running joke, which is we could live here, not just in Philly, wherever she comes and meets me, if I'm traveling or if we go together, we'll drive through neighborhoods. We do it in New Orleans a lot, actually. We could live here. there's almost nowhere. Pasadena, Alhambra. It doesn't matter. Wherever we go, we could live here. So that we go to Philly and we walk around and we've been staying in the in Midtown Village. 13th and Locust, one of those Sonder units, the last several trips actually, and we just love it. I mean, go to the terminal, over to Reading Terminal Market, and did a little Macy's shopping, and I got a pair of shoes actually. I got two pairs of shoes, and she's been trying to convince me to specifically get the shoes that I suddenly for some reason. They look good, or I felt all right. And she says, "I've been trying to get you to buy those shoes for years." All right, done deal. So, a terrific day Friday, of course, at the show. Anyway, I mean, there was no racing, so I wasn't hanging around at parks after the show much. But thanks to everybody there on Friday, notably Chris Griffin and Tony. And actually, you had some funny. There were some funny reactions. John Service said he was coming in. I guess Saturday morning. He said he was coming in from somewhere, and so he was listening to the replay, the 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. replay on Sirius, and XM. And John said he got the biggest kick out of Tony. He said every horse you bring up, every historic horse. I rode that horse. So John was giving Tony the business a little bit on Saturday. It was a lot of fun. So then came Saturday, and Tina came down on Friday. We had a nice night Friday night. Went to Elvez for the first time. And it was just warm enough, you know, to sit under the, they got the warming lights. It seems like this weekend was the switchover, right? Yeah, it felt like this weekend. It's funny how certain temperatures, right? 68. There's a 68 where it feels warm and the 68 where it feels cool. And so we've hit that magic point where the 68 feels coolish. But it was a beautiful day Saturday in Philadelphia, and they just put on such a great show for this card, for Pennsylvania Derby Day, Cotillion Day. It is just so it's a quandary, because as we discussed the other day, in fact, it came up, when the facilities like that, I mean, the picnic grove filled with families and music and ponies and you name it, just terrific. And then the building is big. I mean, people are spread out all over the place, and the track apron and everywhere else in the paddock. And, you know, when you see the whole scene, you say, gosh, I mean, this could be repeated here. And apparently Johnny will tell you, he was there for Pennsylvania Day at the races, the end of summer. And he said it was, you know, not as packed as it was on, Saturday, but it was a good, you know, building was, you know, bristling. So it can all work. It absolutely can. And then you fold in the good racing, and, you know, they had a huge handle record. I mean, they obliterated crazy, actually, from 13 million to 18 million. That's a crazy number. But they had, listen, the big full fields, and that's the difference. I mean, you get full fields like you saw there, and, you know, then you get, you know, at the same time, you do get some results that'll stymie you for multis. Scaramouche, I mean, who was absolutely in that gallant, Bob. I said there's 14 horses and seven feel like they can win. Scaramouche was one of the seven, and, you know, if depending on how deep you're going to go in the multis and how you build your tickets. And there were a number of people. You know, we were with Will Schwartz's son, Drew, because, of course, Will had a number of horses, including the Exacta in the Plum Pretty, where his own leader of the band, and then he and his partner, Lou, in Main Line Racing, they had Love in the Air. And we do have to talk about, you know, how beneficial it was. I don't want to say it was a flat-out biased racetrack, because there were horses that came from off or just off, and there were horses even that came from well back and were able to work their way into numbers, into the chart. So, but it did help to be, you know, near the lead, and if there wasn't pressures coming from, you know, any kind, you know, from someplace anyway, then, you know, horses were going to just basically coast around for the most part. You know, society, we'll talk to Steve Asmussen this hour, you know, in retrospect, and on first pass, society was right there among the fastest. But then, you know, when you folded in, you thought Adair Manor is going to contest, that is going to be inside, and boy, oh boy. I mean, I use society on the backup tickets, but, I mean, she was terrific. And now, it's funny, you go back and you look at her record now, and you realize, she's nearly perfect, and, you know, 7-1, obviously, was a tremendous price on her. I mean, that was ridiculous, actually, in retrospect. That was almost 8-1. She paid $1,760. I mean, that was just nuts. You know, Secret Oath goes off at you know, a little bit over 2-1. Yeah, 220. The surprise was the money. And I picked Green up myself, but only because I thought, you know what, at 5-1, 6-1, she's moving forward and she's going to get a forward trip and you know, kind of save ground inside, maybe an inside outside trip, and she ends up going off under 2-1. I you know, this is one of those scenes where you say to yourself, ugh, I'm not interested in at 2-1. And you know, speaking of which, Shahama, who plenty of us gave Shahama a huge shot in here, she basically was dead on the board. She was almost 9-1. It was a very strange. I thought the betting in the cotillion was really odd, and it didn't. Frankly, it didn't give me pause to, you know, to bet society correctly. But she, you know, went out on the front end and coast, and she runs. She basically runs, you know, not just a good race and a career best, but she equals, interestingly, 100 buyer, which matches the 100 in the Oaks at Charlestown. And that's really pretty amazing, because the 2 turn 7 furlongs on the bull ring and then this mile and the 16th, she's serious. And, you know, a lot of people were talking, oh, Baffert, you know, 4th Pennsylvania Derby. Forget Baffert's 4th Pennsylvania Derby. We'll talk about that in a minute. And we'll talk about it with Gary Young at 10-10. But that was Asmussen's 5th cotillion. 5th. And did you see Dave Grenick's piece? Dave had a terrific piece. In fact, I think it's on, let me see if it's still on the front page of the, on the front page of the Daily Racing Form, because I saw it earlier. Let's see. Is it still there? I'm sure it is. Why wouldn't it be? Yeah. It actually is more a TABA for the Breeders' Cup Classic story. But listen to this from Grenick. And you know, it's funny. I saw Dave. I was upstairs, and I looked down. I saw Dave, but I didn't actually see him on the ground later on. But to give you an idea, Steve Asmussen's previous cotillion winners: My Miss Aurelia, 10 years ago, Untappable, 8 years ago, Midnight Bizou, 4 years ago, and Clairier last year. And Dave was making the point, depending on what Asmussen, and let's see what he says when we talk to him later, Dave was making the point that Asmussen's cotillion winners have all gone on to Breeders' Cups and run well. My Miss Aurelia was 2nd, Untappable a winner, Midnight Bisou 3rd, Clairier 4th, beaten just, you know, that like less than a length. And at the same time, Asmussen acknowledged to Dave that society isn't necessarily in the same form cycle or let's say position in her development as the other ones were. So we'll see. But she's come a long way pretty darn quickly. And of course, was with Wayne Mackey as a 2-year-old when she broke her maiden at Keeneland, and then came to Asmussen over the winter and took some time to get to the races. Allowance, and then the Monomoy Girl, the Oaks, where she absolutely was, the race was over. I mean, the gates opened, you lose. I mean, she stumbled badly, tried to rush in, and you know, there was nothing Gaffleon could do in that circumstance. And then comes back and wins at Charlestown, and now wins the Grade One. So Peter Blum, homebred, part of a Gunrunner festival. In fact, the weekend could be called the Gunrunner Fall Fest. What did Gunrunner do? Well, let's see. He swept the Grade Ones. Society wins the cotillion. Taba, well, as I said, we'll talk about it in a second, wins the PA Derby. However, later on in the evening at Churchill, if somehow you did not go on with it after, you know, into the evening hours, Gunrunner progeny win the Grade 3 Dogwood, because Echo Zulu came back and ran well, and they, I'm sure, Asmussen very happy with that, and we'll talk about it. Gunite, you know, who was going to be, obviously was going to be a super short price, and it went off at 3-5, but Gunite wins the Harrods Creek. And if you were looking for a price on a Gunrunner, we didn't get a chance to write up the Churchill card, but you certainly heard me talk about Lipikoi's mare, class of 63 and 63 caliber, that was a you know, very nice mutual. 11, 12 to 1, right? That's here somewhere. $24.92, $25 basically. My racehorse and Spendthrift for that man, Tom Amos. And you know, we also, not only did we talk about 63 caliber and this mare the other day in context of this race and the increasingly apparent Edgar Morales, but we talked about class of 63 with Gary Contessa at Keeneland 2 weeks ago as well. We got to get the final numbers, by the way, about Keeneland too. The incredible sale. So, Gunrunner, two grade ones, a grade three, and two, one listed stake. I'm not sure if the Seneca is a listed. Is that a listed stake? It's an overnight. No, so it's not yet a listed stake, but it's a stake. All right, let me see. Does it say if it's a, what's that other classification below listed? Five stake winners, and I didn't even comb. I've got most everything from the weekend. I didn't even comb the hinterlands for any other Gunrunner exploits. It's unbelievable. Taba Society, Gunite, Echo Zulu, 63 caliber. Amazing. Gunrunner. And I'm sure you've heard Steve Asmussen, talk about how prepotent he is. I mean, this is amazing. In fact, I even saw, who was it else? It was Peter Blum, right? The Peter Blum, right? I think Society, I noticed. Yeah, Society is a Gunrunner out of a Tappet mare. So you don't even have to be Ron Winchell to pull this off. Here's Peter Blum taking his Tappet mare to Gunrunner. So congratulations to Peter. We'll talk to Steve Asmussen and, obviously Gunite and Echo Zulu, part of the conversation along with the grade one winner. But, you know, we start out with grade one winners. But they got to be satisfied with Echo Zulu coming back and running the way she did, because there was plenty of reason to be, a little suspect, right? I mean, we weren't rushing. And what did she go off at, actually, now that I bring that up? One to two. Tarabi came back from her Saratoga effort and ran okay. But, but Echo Zulu, and it's not like she was loafing it. Wasn't scintillating, but 22 and 4, 45 and 4, 110 flat, 122 and 2. Very solid. 90, what you get, a 94 buyer, I think. Yeah, 94 buyer. So, Steve Asmussen in a little bit. Let's talk about Taba. And Gary Young's going to join us at the Harrow break at Santa Anita. Had the absolute pleasure of enjoying not just Gary and his man Amer Zendan, who was out of the country, but anybody that's listened for any period of time knows, what we feel about Gary. And so for him to get this win with Taba under the timing and circumstances of this, we're very pleased for Gary, and we actually got to spend some time, thanks to Tony. Tony got us, me and Johnny, we got to go into the jocks room, midpoint, the early mid-afternoon, and you know, Johnny had a chance to spend a couple minutes with Mike Smith, who he's known for, you know, basically his whole life. He's known Gary his whole life, and that was fun. A couple minutes with Joel, and really a fun. You saw the pictures I put up. You could see that it was pretty cool. It was just the scene everywhere. That picture I put up of Johnny Velasquez. How about Johnny signed autographs for as long as he could between races, coming out before riders up, and I read too. Yeah, of course they're, you know, they give that hat away, and it was a perfect hat for autographs, like a light gray. And so, you know, Johnny accommodating, I mean, dozens and dozens of people. And IRAD did, too, along the paddock fence line. It was really nice. You know, in terms of the Derby itself, there were a few things going on. And, you know, by that point in the afternoon, it was pretty clear that you did not want to be coming from downtown. You were going to be hard-pressed to pass them all, let's say. And, you know, for that reason, Zandon and Cyberknife, who came from 8th and 9th early, in fact, Zandon even got shuffled back to 10th at one point at the second call. But they both were, particularly Cyberknife, you know, given where he's been of late, in terms of positioning. And so he was a little further back. And he didn't run badly. And Zandon ran well, too. Simplification, we should fold into this. Antonio Seno was not immediately happy that Paco Lopez did not get to the front. His instructions seemed to have been for Paco to get the lead. And Paco, I think he probably could have gotten the lead, but he did let Luis Saez and White Abario from the outside, he did let them, you know, take them onto the backstretch. So Seno was not thrilled, and of course he got headed late by Cyberknife. And, you know, this was not a terrible result for anybody that you know, was looking to get to the next step. Now, you know, Cyberknife certainly going on, and Sano's immediate reaction was that he would go on to the Classic. Chad's reaction was that Zandon probably done for the year and is certainly not going to the Classic. But, you know, Zandon basically danced a lot of dances and built up a very credible resume. He's never been off the board in 8 starts now. And his season this year, 3rd in the Risen Star to Epicenter, wins the Bluegrass, 3rd in the Derby, 2nd to Epicenter in the Jim Dandy, 3rd to Epicenter in the Travers, and now 2nd to Taba in the Pennsylvania Derby. I mean, that's a very, very nice year. And you know, they certainly can't be disappointed. In fact, what is he up to? 180,000. So call it 1.4 plus million in earnings. 7 wins, 2 seconds, 3 thirds, 3 seconds, 3 thirds. Really nice. And in fact, I was having an interesting discussion with Doug Nachman on Twitter this morning. I mean, this is a really nice crop of horses. This is a very good set of 3-year-olds, and seems like the majority are moving on, including Taba, be back at as a 4-year-old. We'll let Gary talk about that when he joins us. But in terms of Taba's performance, this was a step. You know, this was the step forward that I think they certainly were hoping for. And Gary talked about it. If you saw some of his quotes, you know, Gary basically saying, you know, that with each passing start, he's getting that seasoning that you want. I mean, this was only his 5th start. In fact, you know, from that standpoint, he and Society, there's some real parallels to these two winners now that I think of it that way. But, you know, he had you know, a little bit more of a difficult trip in the Haskell and got beat ahead. And here he had a cleaner trip. He was taking some dirt, and, you know, from that standpoint, he handled that well. And when Mike Smith called upon him, he moved just like a more professional horse, and really finished. I mean, he finished really well. And, you know, there was a point where Rosario, I'm sure, you know, looked for a few strides at a certain point, like maybe Zandon, you know, was going to prevail, and maybe be able to, you know, to outfinish Taba, but Taba finished, you know, very well and accelerated late to, you know, widen his lead. So this gun runner, and of course, $1.7 million. Gary will tell you, you know, he had the green light to just keep bidding. now we've got a situation where Cyberknife, Taba, Epicenter. I mean, I guess the argument could be made that Epicenter was, you know, a slight beneficiary of this result, right? Because, you know, if Cyberknife had won Saturday, he, you know, gets a slight edge toward the 3-year-old championship. If Zandon wins, what's wrong with his resume? With two, you know, at that point you've got Epicenter. Yeah, you've got these grade one winning, multiple grade one and you know, important grade two when you think about the Louisiana Derby, you know, important grade two wins for everybody, plus the Triple Crown placement for Zandon. So anyway, we now have a situation where there's, you know, the 3-year-old. It's hard to believe that there's a chance that you know, the 3-year-olds, all the 3-year-olds that'll be considered for the championship are going to potentially lose to Flightline. I mean, if that's how things unfold. We'll get Steve Asmussen's thought as well about how things potentially shape up on that front. So, from every vantage point on Saturday, this was just a full and fun day of racing. I mentioned Scaramouche. Let's get a couple of other results in. Lupe Preciado for owner Nicholas Camarano. The Munnings gelding. Bred by Stoneway, who breeds a nice horse. And the 14-hole, give Johnny credit. John Velasquez, you don't have to worry that Johnny's going to strangle your horse back and try to come with one run. That is not in his arsenal. What is notable about Scaramouche? He tried some 7/8, and he's won at 7/8, and he even won at a mile. But it does feel, watching this performance, that, and he got a 94 buyer, which is a career best. His first he had had 88s, three 88s, so he busts through and takes a step forward at a good time. 9-1. I looked at this race and I thought that here on top of my page, 3, 4, 8, 10, 11, 12, 14. Those were the seven that I thought could win. So, Of a Revolution was second. That's a nice, the Safi Joseph that we mentioned with Safi the other day, under Flavian Pratt at 6-1, 13-2. And Running Son of a Gun third in here. And by the way, we had heard Saturday our friend Steve Carlin had heard from a friend that, and we got a check on this about how John Toscano's doing. And of course, we talked to John after the Jerkin. So, yes, John has, South's not been great of late. So, I want to check in on that. But running son of a gun, another third in here under Saez of a revolution was, I know, on because I was looking at the form to win, and of a revolution was the play on form to win. So that not a bad, but this was such a tough spot, such a tough race. And, you know, there were horses that were well back. In fact, you know, with these splits, 21-4, 45, 57-3. And as strong as the pace was, it just did not, it wasn't enough to get the closers to the wire. In fact, look at this. Witty was 11th. Witty finished 5th, was 11th at the quarter, after a quarter. Nakatomi was 12th. Nakatomi came flying with Rosario. Was 12th, was ended up 4th, beaten 3 lengths. Running Son of a Gun was 9th, and Of a Revolution was 8th. And so that whole back half of the pack was sort of moving. You could see them kind of coming late, and the horses that were 2nd, 3rd, 5th, and, you know, actually speaking at 45-1, speaking, who some people liked. I know some people liked the thought speaking was a live long shot. And all things considered, to end up 6th, beaten only 5 lengths, not so bad. Because Lightning Larry was 9th, Little Vic was 10th. Yeah, and a few others that, you know, I tried a lot of Hope, who just did not. That was not what we were looking for from a lot of Hope, who took some money, ended up at 7-1. So the Gallant Bob was as tough as it looked. You know who ran a huge race? How about the race that the sprint runner, the turf sprint runner? From the inside. Michael Moore, should reach out to Michael. That was some performance. That was really strong. And I mean, you knew at the turn, top of the stretch, that there was no way that nobody was going to get to them. So he has now won 4 of his last 5. Came to Saratoga and got swamped in the Mahoney, but now wins the graded stake, first chance at a graded stake. And this is bred by our friend Ed Seltzer. Ed, boy, you talk about breeding a nice horse. I should send a note to Ed to congratulate him. That's tremendous. So that one, you know, it's funny because there were the scratches. There were a couple of scratches out of this. Surprise Boss scratched and Nothing Better scratched. And so that, he sort of, you know, he started to wonder and, sort of led to That's Right becoming a little bit more clear and went off at second choice. The dirt horses, remember we had the referendum on the dirt horses, like that Uncle Ernie went favored 2-1. So I think the policy needs to be, unless it's a more than ready, just assume that the dirt horse trying turf is not gonna succeed, I guess. Maybe that should be the policy. Riding with Biden, Butchie Reed, and the Cash is King team, LC Racing, Paco Lopez. Good ride by Paco. Paco took control. He let Riding with Biden, the Constitution 4-year-old gelding, gave him a breather in the, you know, the near the middle of the race, and then finished well. I love what Paco did when he sort of burst away too. I love that when you on the, you know, coming into the stretch and you burst away. Luis Saez, I've told you this 100 times. Luis Saez does that terrific. I tell you, that was the nicest price that in society. Well, you know, those are all good prices actually. 8-1, $19.20, and There was nothing wrong, of course, with the 9-1 on Society. And Scaramouche was 9-1. So 8-1 on Society. So there were, you know, those are square numbers. Those are good prices. You had the DQ we should talk about for a second in the Dirt Mile. And, I didn't think there was any question about this. Some people were debating that, didn't have to come down. He didn't have to come down. I mean, Dexter Haddock is going left-handed, and he bumps Mind Control three times, and he herds him three paths. What do you mean he doesn't have to come down? How does he not come down? Absolutely had to come down. We can have that. Johnny's given me that. He had the whole stretch to go by. No. That's not. I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that argument. So, it was a fun day. It was a really, really fun day. Let me also slip in what other. Who else won? Lupe Preciado for Joe Imbizzi won that Prince Lucky. The 2-year-old Pennsylvania bred race, Gordian Knot. And of course, there was the scratch in the, right. Didn't the other major player right got have to come out of that? Gordian Knot became obvious. I talked about Will Schwartz and his son Drew, leader of the band. Leader of the band reacted. Leader of the band, absolutely seemed to react a little bit and just was not as sharp as she was at Monmouth or at Saratoga. And with the scratch of Chubwagon, Love in the Air, which, you know, Will co-owns with his partner, Dr. Lou, and Mainline. So Love in the Air wires under Paco for John. And Service almost ran... Came very close to running 1-2-3 in here. Butchie Reed with 90% Bryn was third. Bernie Houghton and Hillman Racing. The Opportunity Philly. I think this is another stake winner for Opportunity, who of course stands in PA. And Midnight Parade. What kind of figure did Midnight Parade get? Just a 56. A 2-year-old, two-year-old PA brother, just getting going. And I think is that what I get? Greenwood Cup, the Prince Lucky, Gordian Knot, the Plum Pretty. Oh, the Nightcap, by Land and Sea, who you had to figure, was going to have every chance to wire and then proceeded to wire at a tick under... just under, basically 4-5, and also Imbizzi and Preciado. So they take two on the day, two of the state bred stakes. It was really a pleasant day, and a total of 19 million, the 18,844,000, and the on track 571,000. It was a good day. Good day of racing and a fun day. We'll talk more about it as the morning progresses, including with Johnny and with Gary Young, trying to organize these charts. So bear with me for 1 second before we start talking about what else went on around the country and North America, because there was racing, of course, north of the border, and why these are so out of order, I don't know. There we go. All right, we are organized. Thank you. All right. at Churchill on Saturday night, and we were not following the action and playing Saturday night because we were at our favorite place, the traditional Pennsylvania Derby post day dining pleasure at Non Solo Pasta in Morrisville. And we've talked about it for years. Gennaro and Johnny's wife, Gail, wine merchant, she sells Gennaro. And so that's how we went there originally. And now we go every year. And it's been, I don't know, 7, 8 years of it. And Gary Young was not flying out until Sunday morning. So Gary came with us. And you can imagine how much fun. I mean, Gary Young is fun under any circumstance, except when Evening Jewel gets beat a lip in the Kentucky Oaks. that not so fun. But otherwise, always fun to be with Muggs. And, you know, so celebrating they were all drinking. I don't drink, but I did get that picture up of them all toasting, and it was pretty special. We had the food is just unbelievable how good Gennaro's food is. So we had a tremendous evening. So, but meanwhile, at Churchill, as mentioned, 63 caliber in that Seneca, and I tell you. That's Amos, famous Amos, for My Racehorse and Spendthrift. My Racehorse also won. They had the maiden. They had a maiden, right? The maiden breaker at church at Parks too early in the card. Gunite, we'll talk about in a minute. In that case, let's reach Steve Asmussen, and we gave you Echo Zulu. So what am I missing? Oh, the Bourbon Trail, Brad Cox for the Wests, with that Street Sense. Home brew. Yeah. All right. So that was that. And a slip in New York as we reach for Steve. Love and Thunder for Chad. This the Sayuni Philly. Bred by John Gunther. And Jose Ortiz aboard. City Man, good old City Man for Christophe Clement, wins the Ashley Cole with Trevor. And Todd and Irad, going back to Friday in the Gimma with Gambling Girl, the Dialed In. That was among the New York. No Mig today. Mig has got the farrier there. He said, oh my God. He said, I'm buried. He said, can I beg off today? I said, absolutely. Not a problem. I was not going to say no. And then, of course, we'll talk about with Kenny. I reached out to Kenny, and hopefully we'll get Kenny McPeak in later. But last night, what about the action at Remington? Part two of the big weekend and the Oklahoma Derby. Rattle and roll. Shook the Connect. And, boy, the Mackens last weekend too, right? Yeah, Kenny owes us a visit anyhow. So we got to get Kenny in here because I wanted to get last week. I was hoping, but he was the sale, you know, the sale. And I understand. I wanted to get his reaction. So we'll do that. And this is the other side of you know, traveling and getting it. We got home. We did stop yesterday. We stopped in Manchester, my late father's house, and then we stopped in Springfield at the Big E. Yeah, we went to the Big E. So, I mean, if you want, I can. Should I do my baked potato riff? It was the funniest thing. We're in the car, and Jessica Paquette, who I figured, you know, she said, oh, so nice to see you on Saturday. Jessica with a great job. She was all over society. She gave society out to anybody that was listening. And so she said, it was great to see you. And I said, oh, it's great to see you. I said, you'll never guess where we're headed. We're going to the Big E. You know, she's a Massachusetts girl. So she said, oh, you have to go and get the baked potato. So I started to laugh. about the main baked potato. So apparently, Saturday night, the line, the wait for the main baked potato was 3 hours. Now, I'm sorry. I tell you this every year. Who's waiting 3 hours for a baked potato? I don't understand. They're in the grocery store, the same main russet potatoes. You take them, you scrub them, you clean them. You can, if you want to foil them, you can do that. You put them in the oven and you bake them yourself. What? It's 39 cents. They're paying like $11 for a baked potato. Yeah, okay, there's butter, there's sour cream, there's bacon bits and whatever else they... It's a baked potato! 3 hours? How long are you even at the fair? How long are you at the Big E? Tina and I were there 4 hours, and we're like, okay, that's enough. And it was a little rainy, but you're going to spend... Think about that. We were there like 1 to 5. And then we had to drive home. There wasn't... Some years you go and you see the music shows and whatnot. 3 hours in line for a baked potato? I don't get it. It's a mystery to me. And the other thing is, there's baked potatoes everywhere. It's the craziest thing. There's this Billy's baked potato. They've got the wagons, the little food carts that are all over the place. The at a fair, the concessionaires, so there's Billy's baked potato, and so there's they're lined up for that baked potato. It's a baked potato. And it's a mystery to me every year. Leslie Knopf saying they can make one at home in the microwave. I've even been putting them in the thing, not the crock pot, the Instapot. They're very good in the Instapot. Instapot's a modern miracle, I will tell you. There's some things I'm doing in that Instapot. Have I told you about the spaghetti in the Instapot? I think I put that up on the internet, didn't I? It's unbelievable. There's a recipe I came across. You would think I'm crazy. The reason we're going through this is because we're having trouble getting Steve Asmussen. So that's why you're enduring this. The Instapot has a... I don't even know where I came across it. It was either... I think it might have been in one of my magazines, my food magazines. You saute your meat, your ground beef, and you can season it up a pound. And then you add a jar. You add like a 20, I guess it's a 20, is that a 20-ounce jar, 24-ounce jar? You add a jar of sauce. And then some water. You put some water into the jar. And you break up the pasta. It typically, the recipe calls for 8 ounces. I've been putting in 10 ounces of pasta. And straight pasta is the best for it, like a linguine or a regular spaghetti. Nothing too fine because it'll glop up. But then you pour the water that you put in the... I'll put this recipe up. I'll put the link to it. And so then it's 9 minutes under pressure, under steam pressure. I can't... It's unbelievable. What it does, how it makes the sauce, and how the sauce comes out so velvety, it's amazing. And Tina has been requesting it. I came back from the trip. She said, will you make the Instapot spaghetti? Okay, I'm happy to. I've also played around with where we're doing half sausage, a pound of sausage, or half pound of sausage, half pound of ground beef. And it's terrific. So... Casey's having trouble getting through to Steve. All right. Well, you know what I'll do, Casey? Let me... so annoying. All right. Well, I did not. Yeah, because Gary's going to join us. I was going to basically carry him up to just past the top of the hour for Gary. All right, we'll give it a minute. Let me laud David Hill for a minute. For those of you that got up and may have, I put it up too early because I didn't see where. Let me see if it's been now. Has received more. Yeah, it got a, well, not really. David Hill, for those of you that are enjoying, we're 3 weeks into the NFL season, and we do know that one of our faithful listeners is not enjoying it. So I did get one. There's one. There is one naysayer in the audience. You might even call him a heretic. If you noticed who it is, and now he's laughing. I hope he's laughing. I'm not mentioning names, but it's somebody that we see every year on the road, and feels that, you know, time away from horse racing, is not time well spent, which I understand. But so far, the response to David Hill's New York Times NFL visits has been overwhelming. And it should be particularly overwhelming after Sunday, after yesterday, and this week. David, who of course already gave you the Browns on Thursday night, then proceeded to pretty much run the table. There's a debate going on as to whether he went 7-0 or 7-1, but a brilliant performance Thursday from David. Every one of those home dogs that he liked, Tennessee, Miami, and Carolina, they all won outright. Each one of them won outright. And then the other winners, he took Detroit and the points, and they covered. And he also liked Jacksonville, getting 7.5, and they won outright. And his last win, I think, was the Bunglers. Yeah, the Bengals, and just what one of the topics we talked about, which is, you know, the teams that go sideways and then right the ship. And that, you put the Bengals in that camp. So Cleveland 1-0, Tennessee 2-0, Dolphins 3-0, Detroit 4-0, Cincinnati 5-0, Carolina 6-0, Jacksonville 7-0 by David. And the Arizona, even though Arizona got beat, he was talking that was something of a conditional play. The line had already gotten down to 3.5. He said at 4.5 he would bet the Cardinals. So it was a slightly conditional play. So judge it for yourself. He was either 7-0 or 7-1. So let's see, let's say 7-1, just because, you know, so he was 7-1, he was 3-1 week one and 2-3 week two with his on airs. So 12-5 after 3 weeks. Yeah. Thank you. David Hill, Dave Hill, 77. For those of you not following and listening to his Gamblers show, from The Ringer on Spotify. Tonight, his last play was the Giants giving the 1.5 to the team with the dented star on their helmet. Sorry. What can I have? Sorry. I was going to say, we kid because we love, but that's not the case here. Yeah, exactly, right? Come on. Yeah. Yeah, all right, so we're striking out with Steve. This is bad. All right, Case, is this going to... The question is, check and see if... is there any other issue on the phone side of things? Is it us, or... All right. Well, yeah, because I don't want to. No, now I don't want to get into a situation where, because Gary's got a tight window while they're doing the Harrow at Santa Anita, and I don't want to botch that up. But maybe I can if that continues to be a problem, I'll set up my in-home telephone studio. All right. All right. Let's just give it a couple. You might as well take it to the top of the hour. Let's give you the rest of what went on beside Kenny McPeak. Huh. All right. So it's something. All right. That's possible. All right. Good. All right. So we'll figure it out with Steve. We'll get him, Steve. I do have a window later, though. Okay. That's all right. Because Mig's tied up. So we do have an opening. All right. All right. So at Remington last night, and somebody we're certainly going to get a hold of is C.R. Trout. And what a great win for C.R. And I'll tell you about it as soon as I find my there is the Remington. The Oklahoma bred in the Remington Oaks, even before we talk about Kenny's win, CR's homebred by Den's Legacy out of the Concord Point Mare High Price Hit. Hits Pricey Legacy. 11-1. This is a horse that had only been able to best Oklahoma bred company. When she tried the trapeze, and of course, that's as a 2-year-old. This is her second start at 3. And she really did improve considerably in that September race against, the race against Phillies, Oklahoma Phillies. And so that should have been a little bit of a hint. But still, she was taking on the likes of Juju's Map in here. And Asmussen countered with a Winchell homebred, the Tappet Philly out of the allowance win at Remington, Bionica. So, and actually Bionica went off at a big number. But how about Free Like a Girl as well out of the Charlestown Oaks? And, that's an interesting sidebar. Runner-up to Society in the Charlestown Oaks, Free Like a Girl. Chessie Pommier, and comes into this spot from Delta and took some money. Ends up going off at under 3-1. What was she in the morning? What was her morning line? Where's my? I'm not sure. But anyway, Hits Pricey Legacy easily the best here. So, nice win for C.R. Trout. Does a terrific job. And got to be, that's a special win. Oklahoma bred winning the Grade 3 Remington Oaks. Very cool. We'll save the Kenny McPeak conversation for Kenny. Rattle and Roll. I'm glad we mentioned when we talked to Dale Day the other day, I'd mentioned that, who was it on Twitter, had noted that King Ottoman needed to be respected in the Oklahoma Derby. And that was a very savvy opinion. I'll go back and find that. Oh, you know what? I think it was our friend Jeff from Louisville, right? I think it was Jeff. And King Ottoman at 11-1 between the two favorites made the exotics worthwhile. I mean, they didn't pay, they didn't pay much, but still, with an even money and a 3-2, King Ottoman ended up being the right horse to utilize. But Rattle and Roll, very strong. Brian Hernandez Jr., you know, who Jay Privman talks all the time about how Brian Hernandez just doesn't get the recognition he deserves. So now suddenly, rattle and roll, after failing as the favorite in the Indiana Derby, where he had trouble, has now won the St. Louis Derby and come back to win the Oklahoma Derby. So this is a good program by Kenny, scooping up the regional derbies. Very effective, right? And of course, the Pocahontas win last week with Fun and Feisty, and then Rattle and Roll. So plenty to talk about when we get Kenny in here. The David Vance in between the two features. How about Flash of Mischief for Jerry Namy and Broberg? And in fact, they also won. They had won earlier too, right? They had won. Which stake was it earlier on the card that they annexed, as the saying goes? Right? I thought for sure that they had won something else. They did. The Ricks Memorial. There it is. Island Hideaway. Christian Torres aboard both. And 9-2 on Flash of Mischief. 4-1 on Island Hideaway. This one, the Island Hideaway, was not a Namy homebred. Island Hideaway acquired the 5-year-old mare. That's been solid. That's a good win for her. That's a very good win for her, in fact. And I think that's her first. She tried some stakes before, and she was stakes placed in this race, actually, a year ago. And had just missed in the Pago Hop. But two stake wins for Broberg and Namy. How about the nightcap, Brad Cox, gaining ground racing with Price Talk at the short price, right? Yeah. Has now won back-to-back stakes. Went to Mountaineer and won the Speakers Cup, also at 2-5. So Price Talk, finding some soft spots and got back on the grass here, but has been just as effective off the turf too. So Ronald, that's pretty much right. Is that everybody? How about, let me slip in. Case, let's go to the break. We can head to the break now, and we'll come back with Gary Young. But on Friday, there was also the three stakes on Friday. Let me give you those results as we head out. Denver City, Oscar Flores. Is that a good meet? And Wes Hamilton. Denver City wins the that turf sprint in the Bob Berry Run Sloopy Run. Right? Yeah, Run Sloopy Run from the outside for Jesse Oberlander. And the late stake, the Red Earth, Carrie Craddock. Carrie Craddock wins the Red Earth. Number one due for Terry Westmeyer, homebred, an American Lion gelding. So there you go. Good weekend at Remington, and they did about $4 million last night on there. I don't know how that stacks up, but no, they did. Yeah, I saw that. I took a glance at the bottom. So there it is. Let's take the break here, top of the hour, and we'll get going. Gary Young is going to join us, and we'll talk to Gary. I'm sure still aglow from the weekend, the whirlwind weekend. He's been to Philly once. He's been to Parks once. And it's right now it's his favorite racetrack in the country. Gary Young, after this, at the races, we'll talk about the Pennsylvania Derby win for Tabor.
on Sirius XM Radio. Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
The Southern California Thoroughbred Racing Circuit returns to Los Alamitos with opening day set for Friday, September 16th. Four stakes races highlight the meet led by the Los Alamitos Special on Saturday, September 24th. The meet will feature stakes every Saturday and Sunday afternoon. And racing fans, the meet will also feature an on-track live money handicapping contest on Saturday, September 24th. You could win a berth to the 2022 NHC. And racing fans, the best of night racing continues at Los Alamitos every Saturday and Sunday night. Outstanding racing action is in store this weekend with stakes trials highlighting the racing card. Plus, our nighttime $2 pick six continues to be a popular wager. If there's not a carryover going into our Sunday night program, Los Alamitos will add $10,000 to the pick six pool. That's more money for the horse players to win. The best of racing, the best of nighttime quarter horse racing, always at Los Alamitos. Remember, daytime thoroughbred racing returns on Friday, September 16th.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons Family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sire.